ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं
सद्गुरुं
सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम्। ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणा ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिलिसीदनम्। ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। हरि ओम्। सो इन दिस गणपति अथर्वशीर्ष वी स्टडीड हाउ गणपति इज इन्वोक्ड फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल एज दी सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस। त्वम् आत्मासि नित्यम् एंड त्वम् चिन्मयसि। यू आर दि सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन्। त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्वमसि। यू आर दैट सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस हु हैज मैनिफेस्टेड एज गणपति जी। सो यू आर दैट सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन्। ऑल्सो यू आर द ईश्वर। त्वम केवलं कर्तासि हर्तासि धर्तासि। यू आर दि क्रिएटर सस्टेनर एंड डिस्ट्रॉयर ऑफ दिस होल यूनिवर्स एंड दैट इज होम वी इनवोक। And then he says, protect me and protect the teacher and protect us from all directions, because Ganpati Bhagwan, you are the Lord of all directions. Then he talks about the quality of Bhagwan Ganpati. You are Vangmaya, you are Chinmaya, you are the Anandamaya, you are behind our speech, you are the one that gives all joy, all bliss, the supreme bliss. The Anand, that is, you are, and you are Jnanam and Vijnanam. You are knowledge and you are application of knowledge. You are the one that gives us everything, and you are the five elements. All this whole universe is nothing but your manifestation, O Bhagavan. And then he says, you are beyond the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. You are beyond waking, dream, and deep sleep. And you are beyond the gross, subtle, and causal bodies, which means you are the consciousness within all of us. And then the Rishi tells us how to chant the mantra correctly. We had gone over that. And how to do the Anuswara and Bindu. We had talked about that. And then the Rishi tells us about the form of Ganpati. First, he says, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. That is the Bij mantra. And then the actual mantra, Eka Dantaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahi Tanno Danti Prachodayat. So the various names of Ganpati that we meditate upon. And may that Ganpati inspire, influence us. So that was Then the Rishi actually talks about the form of Ganpati, who is said to be of red color, and it is Mooladhara Sthitosi Nityam. He is the energy in our Mooladhara. As we had said, there are different devtas for different parts, like in the Mooladhara is Ganpati, in the Swadhisthan is Parvati ji, in the Manipur it is Lakshmi Devi, in Anahat Chakra it's Hanuman ji, in the throat chakra Vishuddhi it is Sadashiva, in the Ajna Chakra is Lord Krishna, and in the Sahastra is Nataraja. So the various energies that illumine our chakras. And then he talked about Ekadantam Chaturhastam Pasham Ankushadharinam. So you are the one with one tooth. As we know, the second tooth was broken by Ganpati ji. One is, they say, to write the Mahabharata for Ved Vyas, also to fight the demons. And then the Chaturhastam, the four hands, one is has the Pasham. The Pasham is the rope to hold us. Ankusha is the gourd that controls our mind. And then the third hand is blessing, and the fourth one is giving us Modaka, sweetness, all our desires. And then they told us how to worship Ganpati Bhagwan and how to do the Abhishek, how to decorate, and how the red flowers are dear to him. And he is the one that was before creation. So that supreme consciousness who is beyond Purush and Prakriti, that Ganpati, one who meditates on, he is the yogi, yoginam varaha. He is beyond all the yogis, higher than all the yogis. Now we'll do the next one. Lata, you want to repeat? It is in the red book. It is number 14 in the book of Vedic chants. It is on page 25, number 10.
Okay.
Namo Vratapataye.
Namo Vratapataye.
Namo Ganapataye. Namah Pramathapataye.
Namo Ganapataye. Namah Pramathapataye.
Namaste stu Lambodarayaikadantaya.
Namaste stu Lambodaraya Ekadantaya.
Vignanashine Shivasutaya Varadamurtaye Namaha.
Vignanashine Shivasutaya Varadamurtaye Namaha.
Yeah, so we'll just go over the meaning. So namo vrata pataye. Vrata, you know, vrata, everybody knows. Vrata means fasting. So vrata means any difficult task that is undertaken for a righteous goal. Any difficult task that we do to accomplish something good. Something good. And the highest, of course, the righteous goal is that which takes us towards God, to take us towards Paramatma. So when I, and you are the Prapati, you are the Lord of all difficult actions that we undertake in the righteous goal. And when we offer our actions to Bhagwan, they automatically have to be righteous. You cannot offer something that is wrong to Bhagwan and say that you accept it. So that is the vrata. So you are that vrata. You are that Lord of all such activities. And Namaha Ganapataye. Namaha becomes Namo because of the Sandhi rule. So Namaha Ganapataye to Ganapati. We had talked about Ganas a few weeks back. Ganas are the ones that are rejected by society or are disfigured, disformed. But Lord Shiva, in his compassion, accepts them all, takes care of them, and they do Lord Shiva's work. So they always live with Lord Shiva and do whatever is required. And Lord Shiva accepts them with love and compassion. So Ganpati ji is the Lord of all the Ganas. So all the Ganas, that Ganpati ji is the Lord of that. Then he says, Namaha Pramatha Pataye. Pramatha, Pramatha, there are two meanings. One Guruji is given in his commentary that those who are special devotees or special people who do Lord Shiva's work are called Pramatha. Pramatha also, in another meaning of the Sanskrit word, is destruction. So you are the Lord of destruction. So why would we worship the Lord of destruction? What does he destroy? He destroys our ego, our negative tendencies, our ego. Because we always crying, oh, why is it happening to me? What have I done? I don't do anything bad, yet why am I suffering? So what Ganpati destroys is the crier, the one who is crying, that gets destroyed, because the self does not cry. Who cries? The ego. Why is this happening to me? That's why one of Lord Shiva's names is Rudra. Rodayati iti Rudra, one that makes us cry. Cry, so we should not cry for worldly sufferings, we should cry for the Lord. That is what one should cry for. So when we invoke Lord Ganpati, he is going to destroy us. So are we ready for that? Well, what do you mean? He's going to destroy this what is not. See, what I am cannot be destroyed. That's why Bhagwan in the Gita it says, Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, na kledayantyapaha, na shoshayati maruta. He says that which you really are cannot be destroyed, cannot be cut by weapons, cannot be burnt by fire, water cannot wet it, air cannot dry it. But what I am not is this BMI, this ego. So it's not that my body will perish, but my ego will be destroyed. And if I don't have the courage, how will that happen? He says, seek it from Ganpati Bhagwan himself. He will not only destroy it, but give you the courage to go through this change in your life, because what I am and what I am not, Atma and Anatma, Vivek, that is what the scriptures tell us. Then he says, Namate, namaha, namaha te astu. Namaha means to you, namaha te prostration. Astu, may I offer prostrations to you, who Lambodaraya. Lambodaraya means the one who is the big-bellied one. And we had studied last week, big belly means one who can withstand all of life's adversities, whatever life throws at us. So may I also have the same strength, O Ganpati, to withstand life's problems, life's difficulties. Please bless me with that. That's why he says, I offer my prostrations. And then Ekadantaya, Ekadantaya, we had talked about the stories, but Ekadanta has a couple of meanings. One is that it is one non-dual. When we have two teeth of the tusks of the elephant, you are focusing on the duality. So here in the world also, there is a duality. There is Purusha and Prakriti, spirit and matter. There is Brahman and there is Maya. We'll be talking about that later today. So it says that may I focus on that one consciousness that is the supreme and that is alone real. So may my also when whatever activities I'm doing in my life, O Bhagwan Ganpati, may I stay focused. May I achieve my goal with single-pointed activity, single-pointed effort. Ekadantaya. Vighna nashine. Vighna means obstacles. So obstacles, we'll think of obstacles as external obstacles. Oh, this person doesn't let me do that person, this problem, that problem. But the biggest obstacle we have is within us, and that is our mind. Our mind, which is like a mouse, we had studied, which runs here and there and creates all kind of inner problems, joys, sorrows, all these. So, and also my negativities like anger, greed, jealousy, all they are obstructing me from my spiritual path. So, oh Lord Ganpati, remove all these vighnas, remove all these obstacles from my life. Then Shiva Sutaya. He is the son of Lord Shiva. So people say, Are you just said he is the supreme Brahman? He was there before creation. You said you, he is the sustainer, creator, and destroyer. He is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. And now you are saying he is the son of Lord Shiva. So make up your mind. Is he the creator or is he the son? So Guruji in his commentary and the Mahatma say that we can look at Lord Ganpati from four levels. One is the supreme Brahman, the supreme consciousness that is unmanifest, that is formless, that is cannot be known by us, cannot be studied, cannot be described. That is one. Then Ganpati Bhagwan is also the creator, sustainer, destroyer. He is the Ishvara. Then the third is Ganpati Ji, who manifests as the form that we worship. And that removes obstacles. It said even in Shiva Parvati Ji's wedding, Ganpati Ji was worshipped to remove obstacles. So that means Ganpati Ji was there before Shiva Parvati's wedding also. And the fourth is his leela or his sport, where he manifests as the son of Shiva and Parvati Ji. Everybody knows that story, how he was created, his head was cut, and so on. So Ganpati Bhagwan is Shiva Sutaya, and the Guruji tells the beautiful story about how he and Kartikeya were deciding who was faster, and Kartikeya had the peacock and he could go around the world much faster than the mouse. So he took off, and Ganpati on his mouse couldn't go very far. So he just circled his parents three times and said, "Oh, my parents are my world." And Kartikeya came back circling the whole world. Ganpati was sitting, looking very happy. So that means he had great respect for his parents. He considered them the world. And then Varada Murtaye Namaha. Varada. Varada means one that gives boons, that bestows all blessings. Now, the example they give, suppose you have an opportunity to meet maybe Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world, or some great person like that. And you have a chance to meet him, and you need to ask him for something. Are you going to ask him for a lollipop or a candy? No. If you're really going to ask for help, you will ask, okay, I need $1 million for this project or what. So same way, we go to Bhagawan and we ask for small blessings. Give me this, give me that, take care of this, take care of that. Which is okay, one should can approach the Lord. It's better than approaching anybody else. But what we should ask for is the highest. I want you,
Devotion.
Bhagwan, ask for devotion at the mental level, ask for ability to serve you unselfishly, and the ability to know you as my own self. So the final knowledge is the where even the asker goes away. The asker goes away. And that courage I should have, to where I should be able to dissolve my ego in that total consciousness. So that's what they say, that when you worship Lord Ganpati, we had also talked a few weeks ago, do not worship him just as a little form. And it could be any of your Ishta Devta, whether it's Shri Krishna or Lord Shiva or a Shivaling or Mother Sar. Do not worship only as that little form sitting in my puja room, or that, that murti in the temple, but as the expansion of not only is filling my whole body, but inside and outside, everywhere is that my Lord, Antar Bahishta Tat Sarvam Vyapta Narayana Tishtati. He said, Lord Narayana is not only inside every cell of mine, but every cell of the universe is pervaded by that. So that's how you visualize that this Lord. And then ultimately it is formless. Everything is that Lord alone. So that is how one should worship Ganpati and any Ishta Devta. That is how we should do that. Varshaben, you want to do the next one?
Could I
Yeah,
ask a
Gary.
quick question? What does the pataye mean?
Pataye, pati means the Lord. Pati means the Lord. So
So
pataye is the fourth
pataye,
case. Pataye
fourth
is the
case.
fourth case.
Okay.
Tu the pati,
Yeah.
pataye. Chaturthi ekvachan. Single pataye. Like munaye, patiye, like that. Pati is ikaran, short. Pati.
But nama
So
is
it means the worship, like the worship of whatever.
And Niru, as Niru said, Nama is always done to the fourth case. And when you say Nama, like Gurave Namaha, Om Shri Chinmaya Sat Gurave Namaha. So that is the
Okay.
Chaturthi Vibhakti Ekvachan. Singular.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now the Phala Shruti. So people, there are two schools of thought. Some people, I'll introduce this why we are doing Phala Shruti before we start it. So there are two schools of philosophy. One is they say that Phala Shruti should not be chanted, you know,
Generally,
and
we
they
don't.
generally they don't. But Guruji has done it in his commentary. He has done a word by word translation. I've also heard other acharyas of Chinmaya Mission who say Phala Shruti should be chanted. So there's two different opinions. It's up to us to what to choose. Now, why should it be chanted? I'll just cover that side because I personally, from what I have heard, it is good to chant. First of all, it's a Siddha mantra. Siddha mantra means it is the mantra that will give you certain blessings, certain power, certain siddhi. So the mantra should be chanted completely. And the Phala Shruti is part of the mantra. It's not separate. That's number one. Number two, one should know why one is chanting the mantra. For example, I go to medical school and I learn the drug digoxin. Okay. Now I have to know why digoxin has to be used, right? It has to be used for congestive heart failure, increases cardiac output. So why am I using the drug? That is as important as learning the name of the drug. First, I learn the name digoxin, all its chemical properties, all its actions in the body, and then what is the practical use of that? When somebody is in heart failure, I use the medicine. So same way, the Phala Shruti tells us what is the benefit of chanting the mantra, why it should be chanted. Then it is also important because what happens is that if it is not chanted after one, they say, oh, some people say, we already know it, we don't need to chant it. But if you don't chant it, then your children won't learn. So by the next generation, the Phala Shruti will be gone. Like actually, I was thinking to myself, like when we do the Gita class, Gita Dhyanam, we only do the first and last shloka. Nobody knows the middle, six shlokas. So what we are going to do is at least the first Sunday of every month, do the entire Gita Dhyanam so that people memorize the whole Gita Dhyanam, which is very important. And we'll do the word by word meaning when we start the first chapter. So the point is that the complete mantra is something that we have to pass on. So it should be chanted and the Phala Shruti should be chanted. Again, as I said, some people don't. Another thing is if you chant it many times, then the last time you can chant the Phala Shruti, but Phala Shruti should be done. And the chanting is done at various levels. One is you just mechanically chant, you read and you chant. Then any mantra, if you memorize it,
Yes, ma'am.
then it is better. Like Gayatri mantra, you can read it or you can say, I know it, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha Tat Savitur Vareniam, and so on. That is better. Then the third is to know the meaning of the mantra. Some people mechanically chant, which is good. The chanting of the mantra will bless your mind, will give a lot of, positive vibrations in your mind and also will purify the atmosphere. That's why chanting of the mantras is good. But if I chant the mantra with memorizing is very important. That's why few important mantras should be memorized. You know, we do like Vakratunda, Mahakaya, Saraswati, Namastubhyam, but some of the, even the meditation mantras, like, you know, Mano, Buddha, Ahankar, Chitta, Ninaham, that one, or, you know, the Brahma, Tattva, Masi, Bhavayatmani, that comes in Vivek Chudamani. So memorizing the mantras, that way in meditation, you are not struggling to find or trying to read. With your eyes closed, you should be able to chant and know the meaning, so that I am that Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. That is my true nature. Mm-hmm. Brahma Tattva Masi Bhavayatmani, teacher tells us. So that Brahman I am, who is Jati Niti Kula Gotra Durgam. I have no Jati, I have no Niti, I have no Kula, I have no Gotra. Why? Because I am that Chidananda Rupaha, I am that Brahman. So that is the highest level at which you chant the mantra, where you then, the chanter also goes away. So there is no chanter, chanting and chanted, all three go away in that oneness of that supreme reality. So Varsha Ben, you can repeat the Phala Shruti. Yeah, Swamiji also says in old age, when you can't read, if you have memorized a few mantras, then you can chant them and enjoy the glory of that. So, etad atharva shirsham yodhite.
Etad atharva shirsham yodhite.
Sabrahma bhuyaya kalpate.
Sabrahma bhuyaya kalpate.
Sa sarva vignair na badhyate.
Sa sarva vignair na badhyate.
Sa sarvatra sukhamedate.
Sa sarvatra sukhamedate.
Sa pancha mahapapat pramuchyate.
Sa pancha mahapapat sampramuchyate.
Okay, so we'll stop here. This is one mantra, and then we'll go to the next one. So etat, so this etat, what I have said so far, the Rishi says, this atharva shirsham, this Ganpati, atharva shirsham, which appears in the Atharvana Veda, yeah. Yaha means, again, whoever that person may be, male, female, young, old, short, tall, black, white, doesn't matter. Whoever adhite, one meaning is that gets it in his mind. He remembers it. Mm-hmm. Then knows the meaning. He memorizes it. And the third is one who meditates upon it. So the highest is you not only study the mantra, you read the mantra, if possible, memorize it, but at least know the meaning of the mantra. And then when you meditate with your eyes closed in silence. And even if you have not completely memorized, you can even chant, you know, give the translation in English, if in at least in the beginning, until you can memorize it. So yaha adhite, one who meditates on this, saha means that individual, brahma bhuyaya kalpate means he becomes worthy of brahma bhuya, becoming brahman. So what do we mean by becoming brahman? So becoming brahman is to realize brahman, to know that brahman is my true nature, and the knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati, the Upanishad says. So actually, all of us are really only nothing but Brahman, because Brahman is all pervading. So you cannot say Brahman is somewhere and I am somewhere. Then Brahman becomes not all pervading, becomes limited. If he's all pervading, means everything is that Brahman. So this Upanishad takes you to that level where I am that consciousness, Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham. Shivoham, I am that. And it is a direct path. It is a direct path to take us to the highest. And that is the benefit of this chanting, this mantra, that it makes me fit for becoming Brahman. Fit for. Then sasarva vignaihi na badyate. He is not bound by any obstacles, by any difficulties. Because Guruji in his commentary says, knowledge is strength. When I have the right knowledge, then I become strong to go beyond all obstacles. No obstacles can bind me. No difficulties can come in my path. Every difficulty I am able to overcome because of this knowledge. And as we said, difficulties can be inner or external. Both I am able to overcome by chanting and understanding this mantra. Then, sa sarvatra sukha medate. He experiences joy everywhere. You say, what do you mean experiences joy everywhere? No, I don't experience joy anywhere. Sometimes I have joy, sometimes sorrow, sometimes health, sometimes ill health, sometimes success, sometimes failure. So what it means is that it removes my dependency, because the world will give us obstacles, problems, success, failure. World will never be give us unconditional, continuous joy. But when I understand that I am that self, the self, the consciousness, the Atma, I am not this BMI. All problems occur where? At the BMI level, at the self level of consciousness, there is no problem. So if I understand I am the self, then I accept that yes, at the body level, I'll have some, you know, ill health. At the mind level, not always joy. Intellectual level, I'll not always get what I want. But the karta and bhokta bhava goes away. Who is the karta? The BMI is the karta. With the body, I do actions. With the mind, emotions. With the intellect, thoughts. So the karta is the BMI, and the bhokta is also the BMI. If I do whatever actions, I will get the results according to my karmas, according to that. But when I realize that I am that supreme consciousness occupying this body, then I have no karta bhav, then I have no bhokta bhav also. Yes, karta is the body, and the body will get its results. The mind will get its joy, the intellect will get, but I am the self. So that's why Guruji in his commentary says great Mahatmas, they go through difficult cancers, all difficult problems. They were humiliated, insulted, crucified. Mirabai and Tukaram and all of these saints went through so many problems, but they were able to cheerfully go through them because they had become one with that. That's why Mirabai says, Mere to Giridhar Gopal, Dusara na koi. So I am, and she did not see any difference between herself and Bhagwan Shri Krishna. So that is what it says, sarvatra sukha medate. Every time the person only experiences joy. And Guruji tells examples of some saints who got all dirt thrown on them and mud and all, but they remained happy. And then pancha maha papat pramuchyate. He becomes free of five Mahapapas. Guruji has, you know, given one set of papas that you can read, and another set that was given that I read about is that the main first one is not doing my swadharma. Whatever my dharma is as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a father, as a mother, as a grandmother, father, whatever my duties are, I must do towards my family. Then after family comes dharmas towards society, towards others. Then dharmas towards the nation, towards the earth, you know, taking care of the earth, not polluting. And then the highest is my dharma towards God, towards that may God be pleased with my activity. So that is called swadharma at different levels. So that is number one, papa, not doing one's swadharma or doing opposite. And we'll talk about omission and commission later on. So not doing my swadharma is the number one. Then the next three are killing, stealing, and lying. So these are the next three. To kill somebody, murder, to steal somebody's wealth that doesn't belong to you, or to lie. So these are the next three. So not doing swadharma, then killing, stealing, lying. And the fifth one, which comes in many places, is gohatya. Gohatya is one of the big papas. So what it means is vegetarianism. So go does not only mean cow. It means birds, animals, fish. When you participate in consuming them, you become part of killing them. So that, and of course, cow is worshipped in our spirit, in our spiritual literature, because she is said to be a sattvic animal. Because every part of the cow is useful to us. Cow, first of all, gives birth to the bull. That bull is used in farming. Then cow is, even her urine and her BM is useful. Her urine is used in medicines. Her bowel movements, they make, you know, those, what do you call those, fuel, you know, in the villages. They dry it and put it on the wall and make fuel used in fire. And then even her nails, her, you know, horns, everything has medicinal properties. So that's what they say. The cow is constantly, of course, she's giving us milk, you know, which is nourishing the babies, nourishing all of us. So cow is the most revered animal. So that is called the fifth sin. Yes, Kerry.
You know, I don't remember which Upanishad it was in, but I mean, these are the five great sins. And I think I remember that it said that eating meat was not a sin.
Well, again, like I said, there are different Upanishads have different and five Panch Mahapapas. Like Guruji, he mentions alcoholic beverages. He mentions murder, drinking alcoholic beverages, then having rape or illegal relations, theft, and being an accomplice. So again, there are many Panch Mahapapas, okay. As many authors, there are that many. So it doesn't.
So that's just this Upanishad?
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. But a lot of the Upanishads, yeah. In fact, they used to, you know, eat meat, and even it is said in heaven, they drink alcohol. But that does not make it right, because as we know, alcohol is physically damaging. Mentally, it creates dependence, and then it creates negative behavior in us, ultimately liver damage and all that. So that's why. So these are all, idea is there are not five. There are so many papas, and that we do all the time. We constantly are doing. So the idea is it should free us from all pancha mahapa, all papas. That is the idea, even though they have mentioned five. And then it will talk about how it removes the papas. Sujata, do you have this one?
Yes, she has the yellow book.
You have the yellow book of Vedic chants?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, page 25 at the bottom. Sayamadhiyano divaskritam papam nashayati.
Sayam diyano divaskrutam papam nashayati.
Rataradhiyano ratrikritam papam nashayati.
Rataradhiyano
ratrikritam papam nashayati. Nashayati.
I'll mute Kerry. Sayam pratah prayunjano papo papo bhavati.
Sayam prataya pratujano papo papo bhavati.
Sarvatradhiyano pavigno bhavati.
Sarvatradhiyano pavigno bhavati.
Dharmartha kamam mokshan cha vindati.
Dharmartha kamam moksham cha vindati.
Okay, we'll stop here. So sayam. Sayam means in the evening. Sayam, in the evening. Adhiyano. Adhiyano again means not only chanting it, but learning it, understanding the meaning of it, that is adhiyano. Means it comes in your dhiya, in your mind. Even if you have not memorized, at least you have understood the meaning. And you are chanting it with faith. See, that is very important. You can't say, Are kaisa hoga? You know, it is just written. No, when I'm chanting, I do it with faith that this will happen. So sayam adhiyanaha. Adhiyanaha means having chanted in the evening. What happens? Divas kritam papam. Divas means in the day, kritam done papam. So any papas that I have done in the daytime, nashayati, it destroys. So it destroys, yes, if chanted correctly with emotion, with correct understanding in the evening. Sayam adhiyana, adhiyana means having understood, divas kritam papam nashayati, destroys. Then pratar adhiyanah ratri kritam papam nashayati. Pratah means in the morning, you know, pratah smarami we say. So you chant in the morning, then ratri kritam papam nashayati. It destroys papaha ratri kritam that have been done at night. So they say, oh, so that means, you know, in the evening I chant Ganpati Atharva Shirsha, all my papas in the daytime. Next morning again I chant. So at night I have done any gambling, drinking, para para, jo bhi kiya, sab, will it be? No, that's not what it means. Why they say you should chant in the Pratah and in the Sayam at the dawn and at the twilight, because they are very auspicious time. When the night is changing into day and when the day is changing into night, those are auspicious times, and
Spiritual.
chanting the mantra is very good at that time for spiritual energy. So, of course, it can be done. Later on, he will say it can be done both times or it can be done throughout the day. But at least morning, dawn, and dusk, one should do some prayers. It can be Ganpati Atharva Shirsha, it can be Vishnu Sahasranama, it can be Gayatri 8 times, 11 times, you know, looking, you know, facing, you know, the sun, or not directly facing, but in the direction of east or west. So these auspicious times are very important for chanting, for remembering God. And what it says is that, what do they mean by it destroys wrong actions? While I'm chanting, I recapitulate in my mind, okay, during the day I did these wrong things. So at night, oh Lord, please forgive me. You ask for forgiveness and then not to repeat that mistake. It doesn't mean that, you know, like people go to church or go to temple and say, you know, I pray to God and say, you are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. Forgiven does not mean that now I am ready to start committing more sins again, or like people take bath in Gangaji and say, you know, all your sins are forgiven until now. But that what it means is, of course, the law of karma will always be there, but what it will do is make me aware of my wrong actions, and I'll promise not to commit them again. So that is called free from all sins. And what are sins? Guruji explains it very beautifully. And Gurudev also, Swami Chinmayananda, said that sin is not in the action, it is in the reaction. Action is one, but what residue it leaves in my mind? Does it leave regret? Does it leave, you know, oh, I shouldn't have done it, or it is the wrong thing, or does it leave fear, or does it leave anger in my mind? So any action that leaves a wrong residue in my mind is a sin. And any actions that take me away from God, ones that take me towards God are merits. One that take me away from God towards the world, and which develop all these negative six, you know, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, you know, arrogance, and all those. So those are sins. Then sayah pratah prayunjano papo apapo bhavati. So one who does it both in the morning and in the evening. So we have three choices. You can do in the morning, you can do in the evening, or do both. So obviously the third choice is better. And what that will do is it will make me free from all papas. So what that will do is make me alert. You know, that when I am making a mistake, especially when I recapitulate and say, you know, this thing I said to this person I shouldn't have, or this I did, I shouldn't have done it. So it makes me alert and it will stop me from doing those actions in the future. So that is called freeze me from papa. And what it does is we invoke Bhagwan's grace. You know, in chanting, we say, oh Bhagwan, only you can free me from this negativity. So even though I have committed sins, I ask for forgiveness, and then I promise not to repeat. And in the Shiv Manas Puja, there is a very beautiful shloka. It ends with Karacharanakritam va Kayajam Karmajam va Shravananayana Jam va Manasam va Paratham. Vihitam avihitam va sarvamitat kshamasva jaya jaya karunabdhe shri mahadeva shambho. So he says kara charana kritam va, kara charana, kara hands, charana feet, vak, vak means speech. So any actions I have done with my hands, my feet, with my speech, va kayajam karmajamba, or I may have done with the other parts of my body.
Body.
Kayajam karmajamba, shravana nayana ja manasam va paradam. They might have done with my ears, listening to wrong things, eyes seeing wrong things, mind thinking wrong things. Vihitam avihitam va, so sins of omission and commission. Commission means I have done what I am not supposed to do. Sin of omission is I have not done what I was supposed to do. So one is doing what I am not supposed to do. Other one is not doing what I am supposed to do. So vihitam avihitam va. So sins of omission and commission. Sarva make shamasva. O Bhagwan, Shambho, you are the most compassionate one. Sarva me tat kshamasva, jaya jaya karunabdhe. O, you are the ocean of mercy, O Lord Shiva. So please forgive me for these sins, whichever I may have done. Hands, feet, speech, eyes, ears, mind, errors of omission and commission. So, and that one can also chant. That is another one to memorize, maybe to chant before the end of the day, you know, before you go to bed or at night. Oh Lord, please forgive me for these actions. It is there in Shiv Manas Puja, in Shiva Aparadha Stotram also, it is there. So the idea is that by chanting these, and then Sarvatra Adhiyanaha Apavigno Bhavati. Once he's chanting this all the time, again, all the time does not mean that 24 hours I don't do, but at the back of the mind, Bhagwan's name should be there, you know, as much as possible, remembering, especially when you have a moment when you're sitting, not doing anything, then remember the Lord, you know, sitting at a traffic light, you know, just chant the name or whatever. So every opportunity, doing dishes, vacuuming, when it is does not need much else thinking, then remembering the Lord. Sarvatra adhiyano apavigno bhavati means he totally gets freed from all vignas, all obstacles. And then we'll just talk about dharma, artha, kama, moksha, then we'll end. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha are four purusharthas that every purusha, every human being has to do them. So dharma, artha, and kama are done for worldly things. Artha is wealth, kama is worldly desire, should be done with dharma. And moksha is the fourth one, the most important, where I go beyond the cycle of birth and death, become one with that. And people say, you know, I don't believe in all these rituals. I believe in philosophy, you know, directly study Tattvamasi. What is this? You sit and offer flowers and then you do abhishek. I don't believe in all that. But ritual is as important as philosophy. So one must do daily some puja, some offering to the Lord, sit and before, you know, when you cook, offer the food, sit and offer some flowers. If you are a Shiva Bhakta, maybe, you know, you can, you know, offer bilwa leaves or whatever. So rituals make us better individuals in the world, and philosophy takes us beyond. So it develops empathy, you know, through this prayer. I see God not only in the idol, but I see God as the creator, sustainer, destroyer of the whole universe. So one should not think that I am beyond rituals and I am, you know, sometimes when people study Vedanta, they think that they don't need to do any rituals. Directly you can go to knowledge, but Bhagavan Sri Krishna has given us all four paths in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise he could have, second chapter, he directly goes to the knowledge, highest knowledge. As Lata said, he starts by confusing Arjuna, but then but then he explains it further. And then in third, he does karma yoga. In sixth, he does meditation. And then in bhakti in 12th, and jnana is throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Every chapter, definitely he has some shlokas devoted to jnanam and to take us to the highest. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all four vindati, he reaches. One who understands this Ganpati Atharva Shirsha and chants it with faith and with devotion. So we'll end here. We have quite a bit of the Phala Shruti that is still left. So we'll do that next week. I think Neeru will do the chanting again next week. Of or Jayashri, if she's there, of the Sudarshan Homam and the Ganpati Atharva Shirsha, and then we'll do the word by word meaning. I think in the 25th June, when we do the anniversary, we'll be chanting this Sudarshan Homa. So those who can come to, you know, to the mission, it will be done at 10:30 in the morning. So we can all chant together. So bring this, what is on your WhatsApp, and you can chant. So we have a few minutes. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
I think Kerry was before me.
Oh,
go ahead,
Kerry.
Kerry.
You can ask.
Well, I just had a quick question about Phala Shruti. Is this entire, all these verses, is this the Phala Shruti?
Yes. It
okay.
Starts from Etad Atharva Shirsham Yo Dite. So one who studies what happens to him, Sa Brahma Bhuya. So in every mantra, they do Phala Shruti. Some of them are very short, like Lingashtakam Idam Punyam Yav Pathet Shiva Sannidhav Shiva Lokam Avapnoti Shivena Saha Modate. So there, the Phala Shruti is very short, that one who chants this, he becomes one with Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gets pleased, you know. And remembering Lord Shiva, he reaches Shiva Loka and Shiva becomes pleased with him. He becomes one with. Here the Phala Shruti is longer. Shruti means listening. Phala means the fruit. So listening and chanting. Shruti means the mantras, the Shruti mantras. So what is the benefit of chanting and learning these mantras? So Phala means the fruit. Yeah, the whole thing is the, yes. Except the last one. The last one is, the last one is just sarva with only the last line, but the even that is actually whole thing is a Phala Shruti, yes.
But it's not necessarily like the very first part of an Upanishad.
No, it is the last part of every mantra, not of the Upanishad. The last part of the Upanishad is every mantra generally will have Phala Shruti at the end.
Okay.
What is the result of it? What is the fruit? Phala means fruit. So having planted the seed, what is the fruit?
Okay, thank you.
Lata?
Guruji has explained in description of the sins. He says ignorance of our true nature is the original sin.
Yes.
So if you can elaborate on that. And one other question I have.
Right.
How does prarabdha karma and one born with tamasic tendencies and committing sins fit in? If you can kindly explain
that.
Yeah,
so the original sin, even in Christianity, they said the original sin, man is born of sin. What it means is sin is not the act, but sin is ignorance, which is vasanas. So why are we all born? Because we had unfulfilled vasanas, unfulfilled desires, which were so strong that they caused another birth. And why? How do vasanas occur? Because of ignorance. Because I don't know I am complete. I am that Supreme Brahman. I am that consciousness. I think I am this BMI. I'm incomplete and I need this to make me complete. So for that, like Guruji said, sometimes they will do wrong actions because there is ajnana, then there is ignorance, desire, and action. So ajnana, then ichha, and then karma. So because I have ignorance, so I think that by fulfilling this desire, I will be happy. So then I do actions. But then if it doesn't get fulfilled, I do wrong actions. You know, when I really want to have so much more money and I don't get it, I may cheat, I may lie. So ignorance is the reason for birth. What is vasana? Vasana is ignorance. And the total ignorance is the total vasanas, which is maya, prakriti, which is that. So not knowing my true nature, jnanam gives rise to ichha and then gives rise to karma. So that is the original sin. That is the reason for all of us birth. And the purpose of realization is to go beyond all desires and to know that I am complete. And that is realization. So the master, realized master, doesn't look in the world for happiness. So that is the original sin. What was your second question?
Prarabdha karma.
Huh, prarabdha
and
karma.
And the tendency of an individual, if he is tamasic, rajasic tendencies, and he is by that birth will commit not so right actions.
Right.
What is his or her?
Prarabdha karma is what we are born with, right? Because of previous birth. So those we have to undergo. You have no choice. The choice you have is in agami, that what actions I do in this life so that my future may not be bad. I cannot do anything about. All I can do is when the prarabdha comes, I can undergo without complaint because it is not somebody else who is giving me sorrow, not Bhagwan or not my husband or my wife or my teenage son. Sorrows are coming because of my own actions in the past. So I bear them without complaint. That's number one. Number two, in this life, I do the right action so that my future is not. So by realization, you can get rid of Sanchit karma, what you have accumulated in the past, and Agami karma, you can not do negative actions. But Prarabdha you undergo by realizing it's not me, it is happening to the body. Now, second is if I am born with tamasic or rajasic tendencies, a human is the only one who has a choice to get out of tamas and rajas, right? Like a hippo is a tamasic animal. He sleeps all day in the water or in the forest. He cannot get out of that. A lion is rajasic. He has to kill. He has to do that to kill animals to eat. But humans are the only ones who have the ability to get out of tamasic and rajasic and go towards sattvic. So that's why Bhagwan has spent a lot of time in the Bhagavad Gita about the three gunas, in all the chapters, in the 14th, 17th, 18th, in every chapter, he has spent a lot of time in the 16th also. So talking about the three gunas and how one can lead one's life from tamas, from rajas, to sattva. So human is the only one who has the ability and the discrimination, the vivek. So first I have to have the vivek. What is sattva, rajas and tamas? And how to get out of tamas and rajas to sattva. So using the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures. Just because I have the tendencies, if you just keep indulging in that, then you're not fulfilled your status as a human being.
Thank you.
Auntie, you have a quick question because the time is over. We'll just
yes. I just want to know what happens to our previous vasanas. Are they reduced with our good actions this janam
yes.
or not?
Yes, yes, with good actions, with alertness that I have this negative vasana, I should not do it. So being alert and having the right knowledge and not doing it will weaken the vasanas. This is why Gurudev says when actions are done without ego and egocentric desires and dedicated to the Lord as a service of the Lord, it weakens the vasanas.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll end here and next week we'll finish the Ganpati Atharva Shirsha and they will repeat the chanting of the Sudarshan and the Ganpati Atharva. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om. Really appreciate all of